Thanks, guys, for engaging with that. Now let's jump into the message. We've spent quite a bit of time before the message, but we are in for a treat today. We are continuing our series, House of Prayer. And this summer, we've been talking all about prayer. And prayer is so much more than just, let me read a list of requests to God. Of course, that's part of it, but it is really, in a broader sense, how we engage in relationship with God through prayer. And there's we looked at all sorts of different elements or perspectives on prayer. We talked about intercession and power of praying for our church body. We gave tools and resources like TWI to connect with the Lord. We talked about processing our emotions with God, hearing God's voice. And so we looked at a lot of different things, but on this Father's Day, we got a great topic about talking about how we connect with God as Father, and we got a father in the house going to give that message, the one and only Stephen Greenway. So give it up for this man of God. Woohoo! Yeah!
Yeah, can't lose. They love you already.
All right, let's pray for Stephen. God, we thank you so much for this brother and this friend and this father in this house. We thank you for the word you've given him, Lord. I pray with joy he would share this morning. And God, we're asking more than just quote-unquote a good message. We ask, God, open our hearts to receive. You have something for us today. And so, Lord, help us have soft and open and receptive hearts. We leave here changed, and we ask, show us who you are, Father, as Father. We need revelation. And so, Lord, speak through our brother. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Give it up for Stephen one more time.
Well, good morning. As I was thinking about this morning, I just felt just an overwhelming, like, blessing just to be known by you guys. Really, like, I can speak for our whole family. We just feel so seen and so known by you guys. So thank you for that. For those of you guys that don't know us, I'll provide a little introduction. We got a little picture of our family up here, I think, to start. We have four beautiful kids. There we are. This was last Easter, I think. So my wife, Melissa, undoubtedly the rock of our family. If you know her, that makes sense to you. We just celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary. So, yeah. We feel like we're just getting started still, so we're halfway to 30. Four kids. Rael Cadence is our oldest. She's almost a teenager, so we're getting ready for that. And then Judah's 10. He's our only boy. And Tirza is 8, turning 10 or 12, I think. And then Jade is still our baby at 6. And so it's just crazy to kind of be out. Melissa was just saying, we're out of like this baby stage. And we're like, what happened? Where did it go? And we see all of you guys that are having babies. And we're like, oh, man, soak it up. So we've been here now in Northwest Arkansas for 3 years. Believe it or not, it's the longest we've lived anywhere in our, at least for our family. 5 states, 2 countries. This is actually our 15th home. And so like, we're like, what do we do now? We've been here the longest anywhere. What happens? But we do feel like God has really deeply planted us here with you guys. And so we're not planning on going anywhere. So before this, I was actually an Air Force family. So we traveled around for 8 years, you know, moving every 2 or 3 years. And then after that, we were on the mission field in Southeast Asia for a couple years with an organization for 4 years. And before moving here, like I said, we were in Southeast Asia. We kind of come back unexpectedly. And we were really grieving what felt like just a massive loss in what life was there for us and not being able to return. And that's how we found you guys at Antioch, by just God's grace. Just some fun connections, like Melissa and Mitchell were in youth group together in Houston, that kind of connected us and like, how is that possible? And then when God opened the door for a job here, and we were really praying desperately for community and for connection, and man, God answered like so quickly. You guys were all like a living Psalm 23, like for us in that season. You were like a quiet waters amidst chaos. You were the restoration that God wanted to do in our hearts. You were a path of righteousness. You were a cup overflowing really with love. And we just were so thankful for you guys and for this family. So so here we are. Today, we're continuing our series on prayer. And so I'm going to kind of take us back to what I see as a foundation of prayer, and that's like maybe you can look at it as like a prerequisite or like a cornerstone, something we build prayer on, and that's how we approach God in prayer. And so I'm going to do that today by first just kind of defining how I see prayer. These are just my words. It's not an actual definition, but hopefully it'll be helpful in just giving us a starting point and a reference for where we're going this morning. So you can put that up. So prayer is, in my words, this heart-to-heart connection with God. It's this heart-to-heart communication with God. And really, I want to kind of emphasize that it's a lifestyle, something that happens when we embrace the gospel of Jesus, okay? So you came to church today, we're going to talk about the gospel a little bit first, all right? So if we want to understand prayer, naturally we have to understand the gospel and the heart of God in the gospel. Specifically, this good news, and if you're familiar with the gospel, we know the gospel is this good news that Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, specifically to reconnect a relationship that was severed by sin, severed by brokenness. And there's so many parts to this gospel. There's so many things that it impacts. One of them is this big word you might hear in church a lot of, like atonement, which is just fancy for a payment, you know, for sin. And it is a big piece of the gospel. Jesus took the punishment for sin, something that had to be done to satisfy God's justice, that sin had to be paid for. And so Jesus paid himself. And to me, this shows like Jesus as the way to our connection with God. He had to provide a way. There was something in the middle, and he broke this barrier of sin to bring this connection to God. And as incredible as that is, and as much as we could spend time going into the atonement of Jesus and what that means, this morning I really want to focus on, though, is like rather than that barrier of what he broke, but what connection he brought to us through that, okay? So what the atonement of Jesus provided a way for. So another amazing piece of the gospel, and something that as you read through the gospels that you can fairly easily see, is that Jesus came to reveal who God is. This was the big thing, right? Like he came to embody what God is actually like. So we could read about him within the Jewish faith, even at the time when Jesus came to earth, like there was all this understanding of God through these different ways, but Jesus came to embody who God is. Okay, you look in Colossians, Paul reminds the church that Jesus is the fullness of the deity, the fullness of God, the image of the invisible God. So Jesus gets rid of the sin barrier through his sacrifice, but he also lived to reveal the heart of God. And so it's important that we look and we see in the gospel, what did Jesus then emphasize if he's trying to reconnect us to God and reveal the Father's heart? What did he choose to emphasize and reveal and pay so much to restore? And we get a clue of that if you look in John chapter 14, verse 9. It says, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And so we get a little bit of a clue there. So this morning, I want you all to kind of walk away seeing that one of the primary facets of God that Jesus lived to reveal and died to restore to us was that God as Father, our Father, okay, your Father. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles, or you can follow on the screen. We're going to look first at Luke chapter 2, verse 49 and 50. This was kind of fun when I found this. These are actually the first recorded words of Jesus. You know, a lot of times we kind of think of maybe the Beatitudes in Matthew or something, but this is the first recorded words of Jesus. And it was actually in response to some exasperated parents, Mary and Joseph, who've been looking for him for like 3 days. Okay. And this is our first recording of what Jesus said, what was on his heart as a 12-year-old. He says, like, "Well, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be where? In my Father's house." And then in verse 50, "But they didn't understand what he was saying to them." I think it's notable that it records that Mary and Joseph were kind of like, "What? Like, this is your answer? We've been looking for you for 3 days, and this is like how you answer us?" It shows me that even at a young age, like, it seems that many had a hard time like understanding the way that Jesus related to God. Like it started early, which is obvious to us knowing that he is God. But for Mary and Joseph, even what they knew, the promises that they knew of this child and like what he was going to become, they're like, what? Like, I don't get it. Maybe it was attached to the fact that within, you know, first century Judaism, like they had ritual, they had religion, they had a specific way of relating to God, but not in the same way that we see in Jesus. Perhaps they saw God more as like a worker of wonders. If you imagine all the stories that were passed down through the generations of God bringing them up into the promised land and all these things that he did for them, they could connect to God. Maybe, yeah, he's a God of wonders. Or maybe indirectly through the prophets or through the priesthood, they got used to relating to God in such a way of like, okay, well, this is how we'll approach God through sacrifice, through the priesthood. But as a father, the emphasis seems to confuse, and in this scripture we see it, but as a primary way of relating to God. This kind of cherished or intimate connection with God was a bit foreign. It wouldn't be their first thought, okay? And we see this, if you actually look through the entire Old Testament, the reference to God as Father only occurs like 15 times, okay? Just a handful of times where you see him referred to as Father. It wasn't so foreign that it would have been non-existent, but just not emphasized. But Jesus came to reveal, and we see it early on, this critical perspective that God was first their loving Father. All right, any guesses how many times Jesus refers to God as Father? It's like 160 plus, okay? Just in the four Gospels that we have, okay? So, and then you look at parables like the prodigal son, where you could take a whole, I don't know, week and like dissect all that it speaks about God's character as Father, even in that parable alone. So we don't have time to dive into all that this morning as examples. But I challenge you guys, as you read through the Gospels, look for these ways that Jesus is emphasizing how he's revealing the Father and the way that he approaches God. And it's very, very easy to see how much time he's spent saying, my Father, our Father, okay? So suffice it to say, it had a significant emphasis on reintroducing his people to God as Father. But yeah, what does that have to do with prayer? Remember that prayer, at least by my definition, is this connection with God, okay? So let's turn to Matthew 21, verse 13. In this passage, we see Jesus kind of stirred to this emotion of anger in how his temple is being treated. He says, it's written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. He's actually quoting Isaiah in this passage, referring to the temple as a house of prayer. And if you think about it, this is the same place when he, as a 12-year-old, in the past reference, referred to the temple as my Father's house. And so in Jesus' mind, the temple, this place that's symbolic with this closeness to God, you know, even now, Melissa and I took a trip to Israel years ago, and we went to the Western Wall, and in within Jewish, like, tradition, there's still a place where they think it's closest to what was the Holy of Holies. And they have all this whole lines of people getting as close as they can to this place that represented this symbolic place of like closeness with God. And here, Jesus is referring to this place, this symbolic place as being close to God, as a place of prayer and one where he is seen as Father. There's like this intimate connection that he sees as like, this is my Father's house, this is a house of prayer. Okay, this is the title of our whole series, right? So let's look at one more reference. This one will be familiar to you guys as well. In Luke 11, starting in verse 1, we know this as the Lord's Prayer. Probably our best example of how Jesus, like, formally taught on prayer. There's a lot we can pull through this. Starting in verse 1, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So here his disciples asked him, like they're watching him pray, and then they ask him, well, hold on. Okay, teach us to pray. And it's true that his disciples, most of them were pretty ordinary guys. They were fishermen. Many of them weren't very, like, learned as far as you could go in Judaism at the time. But and Lindsay can probably help with this as far as the history of it. But, like, they were still very well, like, taught in Scripture. Okay, they had, like, a very deep knowledge still of connection with God, at least is what they knew in their culture. They'd memorized huge portions of the Torah and the Psalms, and they'd grown up listening and seeing their concept of prayer and the connection with God at the time. And so it wasn't like it was a foreign concept to them, like, oh, we've never heard of this thing called prayer. You should teach us. They knew it, but they saw something specific in the way that Jesus embodied it that they wanted. And so they were asking him, and they recognized that it was a different way. And so it's notable how he answers. Jesus didn't begin in this case by telling them, okay, when you first come to God, you need to prove your worth. You need to bring and say, this is who I am. This is, look how good I am. This is my performance. See God, like we can connect now. He didn't come and say, well, you need to bring this sacrifice and this vow. You need to do these things, which actually would have made sense if you look back at their culture. And he didn't say, yeah, come, but you make sure you offer some penance and bow yourself low before the Lord. You're approaching Almighty God. He doesn't do any of that. Although those things would be a fine response to entering a connection with Almighty God, he began with Father. Right? In some scriptures, I think it's in Matthew, he says, Our Father. Okay, Daddy, like this is the connection that I want you to have, okay? So there's something really significant with the way that Jesus teaches us, and we can't miss it, okay? If prayer is the heart-to-heart connection with God, and if Jesus came to make the connection possible and to also reveal to us the way that God desires to relate with us, then true prayer, true connection with God can only come when we approach God as a father, okay? We got to see this. Okay, so I've asked some of the dads today in our community here to share what connection looks like with them and their kids. Okay, so we have a little slide for that, I think. Thank you, Lindsay. There we go. Those are some good ones. Happy Father's Day, guys. Guys, this is connection, okay? Look at the faces. Mark 10:15 says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Okay. These kids connect with their dads on an intimate level. This is the first way a child knows dad is by this connection, this holding. I remember in the hospital with, maybe it wasn't in the hospital. It could have been a home birth. I can't remember now. with one of our kids, I remember the midwife saying, like, hey, this like skin-to-skin connection with babies is really important. And I just kind of assumed, well, of course, that's with mom. And she said, no, it's with dads too. Like, this is like a really important bonding thing. And like, this is the connection, this kind of vulnerable connection with a kid and a dad that like starts everything out, okay? The series is all about prayer. Jesus taught so many wonderful things about prayer. You go into the Lord's Prayer and you see all these different ways that we engage in prayer, and these are the things that we oftentimes focus on because they're the active part of prayer, okay? James tells us the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and we're like, yeah! You know, like, Jesus teaches about provision and forgiveness and adoration and praise and bringing the very rule and reign and kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, like, all these amazing things we get to intercede, like as the Adams reminded us, like, and partner with the very heart of God in prayer. We claim victory over sin, victory over brokenness, binding and loosing things on earth as they were in heaven, right? We're like, we get all pumped up about that. And those are our promises. They're like, those are our very life in the Lord, okay? If prayer is a lifestyle, these are the things that come out of that that we should be after. But all of this comes from a closeness and a connection with God. All of it, that kind of connection that we approach God in, how we align with him as a child, relating in intimacy to the Father. If we miss that, we miss all of it, okay? We can't strive to just conjure up this powerful prayer life without approaching God as Father, okay? All right, to illustrate the importance of how we relate to God, I'll give a little picture. I'm going to call it kind of our approach to God, okay? For instance, if my kids approach me as their friend or their buddy, their chef, their servant, the owner of the house they live in, maybe. All those things I am at times, right? But if they approach me primarily that way, they'll miss out on this greater blessing and reward of knowing me in my heart. Like, I am their landlord, sure, but I'm their father first, right? And so they'll miss out if they formalize things so much and they miss out on this intimacy of knowing me as daddy, knowing me as father, okay? And I miss out, too. My father heart is to connect to them that way, okay? God wants to connect with us in many different ways, but chiefly he's blessed when we connect to him as father first, right? All right, so let's talk about the approach. I didn't mention yet, but I've been a commercial pilot for 18 years in the Air Force first and now, you know, for Tyson. So I couldn't help it. I'm going to nerd out a little bit today. The picture I have for this approach is very much flying related, which makes it really good. You'll see. All right. So within pilot training, there's like lots of different levels. And one of the big milestones in pilot training is called an instrument rating. And it allows a pilot to be able to, you learn how to fly in reference to an instrument panel in your airplane instead of the ground. And so if you need to fly in clouds or get from A to B and you don't really know where you're going, you can file instruments and go that way. And then it culminates in this instrument approach where you get aligned with the runway, and being there's many airports and many runways, you want to make sure you're on the right one. And even without seeing it, you can get down to almost a blind landing just on instruments. And so it's kind of this like this big milestone of training called the instrument rating, okay? Within this kind of flying, the alignment is really critical because you don't have a visual reference to kind of avoid obstacles or make sure you're heading in the right direction, that you're aligned with the runway. And as you get closer to the ground, there's, you know, the trees get bigger, there's towers, there's different things that you'd want to avoid so you can safely connect with the runway. Maybe you kind of see where I'm going with this. It requires a high level of faith and trust in the instruments. One of the first lessons I remember being taught by an instructor was like, we have to learn to trust the instruments and not what we're kind of feeling, because if you're in the clouds and you feel like you're turning, but your instruments say you're straight and level, I have to trust my instruments and not the way I'm feeling. You can get really disoriented. And so as pilots, we actually literally learn how to like live and fly by faith and not by sight, okay? Okay, it's good, right? All right, so the first point, if we want to connect with the God of the universe, okay, and enjoy this life of prayer, that heart-to-heart connection, that real life that he invites us into, we have to approach him and align with him as our Father by faith. Okay, so how do we do this? All right, back to flying. It's more fun. So in order to fly in instrument conditions, the pilot has to be trained, but the airplane also has to be, you know, specifically designed for it and certified by engineers to make sure that it can reliably receive the guidance it needs so that we can, you know, fly the approach. And the first step of any checklist when I'm starting to fly an instrument approach, and if there's any other pilots out there, you know, like the first step, no matter what, is tune in to the appropriate radio frequency or GPS signal. I have to tune in first, okay? So the airplane has to be capable, and I have to tune in, okay? And so here's the big takeaway, okay? You are designed for this, okay? Okay, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. This isn't some mistake, something that you have to kind of figure out. Like, you were designed for a connection with the Father heart of God. Okay, you're certified by the blood of Jesus, like, to enter into this communion with God. Isaiah 43:1 says, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. You are mine. Okay? Like, guys, you were designed for this. Okay? And you have the ability to tune in. You have the ability to hear the voice of God, to receive the appropriate guidance to get aligned with him. John 10:27, actually, Lauren last week mentioned this very verse. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. It's so simple, right? Like, we were designed for this. You have everything you need to align yourself with it if we tune in, okay? Galatians 4:6, like, really sums it all up. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Isn't that beautiful? Abba is like this translation of, like, this intimate, this, like, daddy, okay? Like, the Holy Spirit is our, like, the way we tune in, okay? As we submit to this relationship with God, he's provided everything we need for life and godliness to tune in, to align with him, okay? So the second point I want to make this morning, we connect to God as Father by acknowledging first and foremost that we are designed to approach him in this way, and by tuning into the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth, okay? The beating heart of Jesus and his Holy Spirit is for us as his kids to be reconnected, rejoined, reunited with the Father heart of God. This alignment and approach to God as Father is the foundation of prayer. That same activity where it brings about his kingdom on earth, by which things are bound and loosed, through which healing, forgiveness, all of it comes, okay? Guys, it's all tied up in this, like, this tuning into God's Father heart. So is it any wonder that, like, Satan, our enemy, has had such a strategic attack on fathers? Okay. I've got a few stats to share. There are 18 million fatherless homes in America, just America. Fatherless families are 4 times more likely to live in poverty. 85% of children exhibiting behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. Children who feel closeness to their father are 80% less likely to spend time in jail. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. The list goes on and on. And this isn't to, like not show the importance of mothers. Obviously, that's important. But, like, we can see that, like, God intended for us to receive love from a father, okay? The influence of a father, even within an unbelieving society, really can't be overstated. And each of the statistics, we share a lot of them, like, they actually represent real-life people, right? Like, who, devoid of genuine connection with a father or father figure, missed out or are missing out on this life that they're designed for, this peace that, like, has to be filled. Okay, and without the gospel, these kids, many of them adults now, right, will never know the existence of a perfectly heavenly father. They'll never know that they were designed for a connection to God. They'll never know that God himself moved heaven and earth to break every barrier and to reconnect them in this way. They'll never be able to partner with God in this grand life, what we call prayer, right? This life, the kind of feeling that we as a family experienced when we joined you guys. Okay, they'll never know those things if they don't know the gospel. If Satan can taint or destroy our view of God as Father, it undermines or destroys the intimacy we were designed for, the potency of his church as God's ambassadors of the reconciliation that Jesus came for. It has huge implications, right? Many, maybe even this room, can link an addiction or a depression or insecurity or deep brokenness or pain from a wound left by an earthly father who himself was broken, or the absence of a father. Okay. And it hurts in our hearts in part because we knew, like, man, it's not supposed to be this way. There's supposed to be something else filling this spot. Okay. It should point us to God. But if there's nothing to point us that way, and we don't see Jesus and we don't see the gospel, then we'll think, oh, there's something wrong with me, right? But Jesus agrees, and he made a way to restore our view to that. And our key here is to tune in to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts, okay? When we open ourselves up to this gospel, even if we don't understand it completely, we open up a place in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to come in and bring that word of, oh, Abba, Father, I'm returning to what I was designed for, okay? And I want you to remember, too, that, like, you're not in this alone. Like, these statistics show, too, that, like it's a majority of people that, like, have this sense of, like, man, there's something missing here. There's a brokenness that needs to be healed, okay? Okay, one more picture. One of the skills as a pilot I learned in the Air Force was called formation flying. It's one of the more fun kinds of flying. They taught us how to fly within 5 or 10 feet of another airplane. And it was fun, but it wasn't like for the sense of like, man, look how close we can get, right? Or like we're going to be the Thunderbirds or something. There was actually a purpose to it, and the fighter pilots that go on to fly those kinds of missions later really use it for mutual support and for their missions. But for our training, a lot of it was for, well, what happens if I have a malfunction in the airplane and I need some support to come back? And one of those was like a full electrical malfunction where I don't have instruments suddenly. But if I have a wingman, I don't need instruments anymore. Okay, and so we actually trained this way where we would come in on an instrument approach, and even in dense clouds, we would tuck in to inside 10 feet to where all I could see was maybe my wingman's wingtip. And that's all I'm focused on. I don't have time or attention to tune anything else up or to look at anything. I'm trusting that he's going to be aligned with the runway, that he's tuned in, and I'm just trusting and following that approach, okay? And band, you can actually, you guys, come up. So I want you guys to look around, okay? This room is full. We have an incredible family here of people who are tuned into the heart of God, okay? Maybe not perfectly, right? But God's intent was that we do this together. This is a shared connection. And it's something that if you're struggling to find this connection to the heart of God, maybe you can start by just looking left or right and finding a good wingman who's tuned in. And tuck in tight and find, like the Bible says, like, imitate their ways, okay? So this is another thing. You're not alone, okay? That's why we have stuff like 24-hour prayer, okay, where we do this together. It's why when Scripture says when two or three are gathered, that he's there in their midst. God designed this connection, this return to God's Father heart, to be something we do together, and we're not alone in it, okay? So my challenge, especially if you're having a hard time seeing how do I approach God as a father? Maybe you've really been hurt by your own father. Maybe he was absent. Maybe you don't know what that looks like. And maybe you want to trust that and you want to say, Holy Spirit, show me this connection, but I don't know where to start. This could be a way to start, okay? It's just finding someone next to you. Walk closely with them. Let them lead you on this approach in the heart of God. Something Lauren said last week that I thought was really significant was as she was learning to listen to the heart of God, one of the first things she was challenged in was like God just repeating to her the phrase, you are my daughter. Remember that? You're my daughter. You're my daughter. And it was like this just in her mind for a week or two, she said, like, and I thought it was significant because, like, she's being reminded as she's learning how to listen to the heart of God, this is where it starts, you know? And so we can use Lauren's testimony and the testimony of so many others in this room I know who are so powerful to say, this is how God's Father heart has changed me and healed me and brought me healing, okay? We did a 60th birthday for my dad a few years ago, and it was this big, like, event, and I wrote out kind of it was supposed to be an honoring speech for him, and it was in a way, but I really felt impressed by God to emphasize in a way that he wasn't perfect, because I know he was absent at times doing different things. Maybe he worked too much or something. He was a great father, is a great father. But there were still wounds that I had, that my sisters had, because he wasn't perfect. And my encouragement to him was that even in his failures, Mitchell mentioned it, even in our failures as fathers, it brings up this thing in our hearts of like, oh, there's supposed to be something different here. Like it should draw us to this recognition that like what we really need is the father heart of God. Like an earthly father can only be a vague representation, okay? Even as much as he does in us, but like we need the father heart of God. So even in our failures as dads, like it can push us to the father heart of God. Okay. All right, it's time to land the plane. I always wanted to say that. All right, we're going to reflect a little bit. Really just allow God access to this vital place in our hearts. I know I don't want to oversimplify this. I know the complexities of wounds and father wounds, and it's not like it's something we just mention it, you know, one day and it's, oh, yeah, it's a great. It can take time. It can take a lot of healing. It can take counseling. It can take a lot of things, okay? But my encouragement to you today is that God is for you, okay? He is and always will go beyond where you could ever go in reconnecting with us as Father, okay? He himself came. Jesus came. He gave his whole life for this thing, okay? He wants it more than you do, okay? And he's removed every barrier. We can step into alignment with that. We can partner with God in that in this way. And so a few questions will just help in your own processing of all this, and I'll pray. But after having some time to reflect, I have asked some of the fathers in the room to just make themselves available at the front, just to pray a blessing over you. Their wives will be with them too, but I think God really wants to use just an opening here and a recognition that God has intended a piece of his father heart to be reflected in the fathers in this room, okay? And so I think there's a blessing that he wants to release too if you need opening to that. And so, imperfect as though we are, we can be wingmen for you to lead you into the presence of God, okay? For some of you, it might be maybe that first step, that kind of act of faith, to receive the beginnings of a healing for a father wound, to take a step to align with this God's heart as his beloved child, okay? So let me pray, and then, we'll get into it. Father, thank you for your unrelenting heart, Lord, to be near us, Lord. God, thank you for wanting to be near us, Lord. I just think of these pictures, Lord, of other dads with their kids, Lord, and I just think of what it's like in our hearts, Lord, to receive from your heart, Lord, as we crawl up on the couch with you and lay our head on your lap, Lord, and release our burdens and release our frustrations and confusion about life, Lord. Sometimes it feels so heavy or hard, Lord. God, but to know that you are accessible, Lord, that you've made yourself available, not just as this worker of wonders, which you are, Lord, but as a daddy who just loves and wants to reconnect with his kids, Lord. And I'm so overwhelmed by your heart, Lord, to be near us. Lord, I just pray a breakthrough, Lord, in our minds, God, that we would get a fuller, clearer picture, Lord, just the depth of your love for us. Lord, that you would overcome these wounds and these barriers, Lord, to this approach, God, that even if we're in the weather, Lord, even if we can't see the runway, even if we don't understand our approach to you, God, that we can trust in you, Lord Jesus. We can trust, Holy Spirit, that we can tune into you, that we're designed for this, Lord. And Lord, there's so much that you want to open up in life, to this life of, like you said, I came to give life and life to the full, Lord. You desire so much fullness of life that you want to give to us, Lord. And I I just pray that it would open up, Lord, as we connect to you, Lord. Would you just minister to hearts this morning and just bring us back to you. In Jesus' name.